G'day everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the FPL Oz podcast. Three green arrows. Yes, you're hearing that right, listeners. And no, this isn't recorded before the game week. The boys had a big, big week and they're flying up the tables. Let's get into it, fellas. Micah, the boy, welcome. What a week. Green arrows all round. How good?
Thanks, Camo. Yeah, mate, it was a good week. My first green arrow in about four or five game weeks, I think. So pleased with the week, and we'll get stuck into it a bit more later on. But yeah, pleased, mate.
And the boy, great to have you here as always. How'd you go? How are you feeling?
Great to be here. I think I've never got a red arrow since we started recording this podcast. So must be a good luck charm. So I'm happy to keep it rolling for a while. And I think we're going to start maybe with a microscope, but not as harsh. There was a green arrow. But Mike, talk us through what went into getting your green arrow this week, because it wasn't the most traditional green arrow we've ever seen.
No, it wasn't. Minus 12 this week, so big shift in the squad. I knew, like I said earlier last week's pod, I knew my team needed a bit of a change up, and looking at it last week, I just wasn't enjoying what I saw when I opened up the app. So it was just making it really hard to sort of get involved in FPL when you open up the app and you're not really interested in what you're looking at. So I thought, I'm just going to do it, bite the bullet. So I did the minus 12 and dropped from 1.4 million to 1.8 when the minus 12 got taken off. So that was a fair whack. Got rid of Basuma, Marcel, Ronaldo and Lukaku, took the money out of the forward line, like I said, I was going to.
And, one point between those four players. They got 1 point between them on the weekend. So it's fair to say it was a good call to get rid of.
Yeah. And then Chilwell, De Bruyne, Tony and Broja came in. Unfortunately, I left Broja on my pine, on my bench, which is disappointing. 8-pointer. So he'll play this week, definitely. Went Gallagher over him, which was a pretty poor decision in the end. But yeah, big minus 12. And now moving forward, looking at my team, I just like what I see a whole lot more, which is money sort of spread across the team rather than the two big dogs up front, which stuffed me for a fair while. So I guess just going on to my game week after that minus 12. So I had brought Chilwell. Yeah, Chilwell came in. He got 12 as my vice captain. Rudiger, 9. Diaz, 2. Alexander-Arnold with a 10. This morning, Ramsdale, 3, which was a pretty tough one to swallow because I watched that game and they completely dominated, to be honest, and then conceded with a pretty fluky goal, just a bit of a flying shot at the end. So I had Salah captain, which was always going to be the case for me. We talked about last week, 48 from him. Blanks from De Bruyne and Rafinha. De Bruyne not starting was pretty tough pill to swallow after they dominated that game so much. But I think Cavo and I both are hoping that he'll pick up the points for us over the next few weeks. Gray got himself an assist, which was good, and Gallagher blank and Tony blank, but liked what I saw from Tony in the highlights as well. I didn't catch that game. So, 95 points, green arrow. As I said, after my minus 12, went back to 1.8 and then jumped all the way back up to 1.3. So sitting with about 150K rise even after my minus 12, which is pleasing. So, yeah, happy with that.
Do you want to thank me and the boy for putting you under the microscope last week? And do you reckon that's kickstarted your season, getting the blowtorch on you?
Yeah, probably. I needed to change a few things, and that was one of the things that probably put me under the pump, and I just needed to start enjoying my FPL a bit more. So enjoy it more now.
No,
so
it's
we
good
obviously,
to hear.
as the listeners can imagine, we're obviously, you know, three mates and we talk a lot, especially about FPL. But Mike didn't actually tell us that he'd done the minus 12. So he must have been a bit edgy about it. But the great app, livefpl.net, obviously says everyone's trades straight away. And when I saw the minus 12 there, I tell you what, I thought he'd lost the plot. But as I said, 1 point between the four guys that have gone out. And yeah, he's got four guys in now that are going to score well for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So if there's ever going to be a good minus 12, it's probably when your team's fucked and you've already played your wild card. So he found a way to get a green arrow, and a green arrow is a green arrow. Camo, you got a green arrow as well this week. How'd you do it, my friend?
Yeah, green for me as well. Put up 91 this week. So pretty happy with the score. Largely thanks to Mo, captain, like we talked about last week. He's the man to go with. Really got my points from him and my backman. So Livramento 9, Alexander Arnold 10, and Rudiger 9. Pretty much, Damari Gray with a 5. So everywhere else was a pretty poor return. McCarthy, 2 in goals. So that was disappointing. Gallagher and Rafinha, both 2 and 1. So not a great output. Like we talked about, you said Maiko, De Bruyne. That was pretty disappointing. I talked about it last week, the variety of City mids, and unfortunately picked the wrong one. It would have been good to go with Phil, but hopefully that Kevin can leave me in good stead for the next few weeks. And then Tony too, and St. Max too. Like you said, Maiko, pretty disappointing for all of us with Tony just missing out. I think we'll go through some of his numbers a bit later. But I think there's the bones there. Building something. So yeah, my two transfers were KDB and Tony in for only 3 points. I traded out Ronaldo and Jota for who got 12. So I was very happy to see Ronaldo's goal get called offside this morning. Otherwise I would have been pretty disappointed with the trades, but 400,000 improvement on the rank to 1.4 mil. So two green arrows in a row, starting to make some moves. Yeah, as I said, I'm pretty happy to be putting up nearly 100 after the start to the season I've had. So, yeah, there's something there. What about you, Tate? Another big score from you. Another big rank, as you showed on the Twitter. Talk us through it.
Yeah, 112 minus 4 for me, which is probably the biggest score I've got in a while. I don't think I got over 100 at all last year. And then, obviously, game week one this year, I think I got 105 when most people had a pretty big one. So, another ton, which was great. It was my 6th green arrow in a row, as I've been shouting from the rooftops. So everyone's aware of that. But yeah, it puts me 82K overall, which, you know, I've definitely never been that high after 9 game weeks. So pretty excited about that. Going up 200K. And the two transfers, bit iffy. I took a punt like so many people did. I brought in Mendy and Havertz from Chelsea. Took the minus 4 to get rid of Sanchez and Bruno. And it actually ended up dead even with the minus 4. So I think it was Mendy and Havertz got 6 and 3. Sanchez somehow got 4, even though he conceded 4 goals. Bruno got 1, and then the minus 4 just made it dead even. But you can go dead even and you can have Mendy and Havertz for the next 3 weeks instead of Sanchez and Bruno. I think you take that every week. Sanchez plays the Egyptian king this week, I should say. So he's not going to get hit in the gloves like he was in the weekend. They'll be going straight in the net. So he's not going to get a return this week. So happy to see the back of him. But after that, returns from AA, Livramento, that is, and Rudiger down back. So just 3 guys you've almost got to have. Like the back line almost picks itself. And then like Cancelo is my other one who only got 1 this week with the conceding the late goal. But, you know, those 4 guys I'm happy to keep. So they're not going to go anywhere. In the mid, Mo Salah, 48 as captain, just unbelievable, really. I crunched the numbers and he's averaging 21 points for me this year when you know, obviously factor in the captaincies. So, you know, if you can get a 21-point head start every week, you're going to take it, aren't you? So I've captained him 7 weeks out of 9 and that's what it gives me. I think if it was 9 out of 9, it'd be 23 or 24. So, yeah, he's just on fire. Rafinha got 1. Phil Foden, 18. Lucky with his 2 goals. I reckon the first one was an own goal and the second one, he obviously knew nothing about at all, but you take that. He played a great game. So 18 points. I'm going to claim every one of them. Kai Havertz, 3. Seriously, like 7-0. He's playing up front. He's a wonder boy. We keep getting told. I'm not convinced he is yet, but how he didn't get involved is just beyond me. I feel sorry for the people that captained him.
My question would be, what did you see from him that told you he was going to get involved? That would be my question to you, because we saw
nothing
all over Twitter for so long this week about everyone feeling so unlucky and thinking that they were unlucky by captaining him and him not returning and Mo returning. But I don't really feel sorry for those people, to be honest, because like we talked about on last week's podcast that it was Mo every day of the week for all 3 of us. No questions asked for captaincy. So I guess, you know, yeah, I could maybe accept a little bit of unluckiness considering they did bang in 7 in the end, but yeah, I'd like to know from your point of view, you brought him in for a minus four. What did you see from him that you thought he could return?
So I feel sorry for them for having to sit through it. I don't feel sorry for them for captaining him because I agree. As we said on the podcast last week, like Salah was just so straightforward. Like, as I said, Mo's averaging, I doubt Havertz has ever got that in the Premier League. I could be wrong, but, you know, he hasn't done much. And, yeah, you know, I don't really like any of the Chelsea attackers to be able to rely on to get your points. So to give one of them the captaincy, yeah, it's a mistake, I reckon. And do you have any views on that, Camo, before we talk about the way it's probably been received in the community? Because it was a pretty feisty place to be this morning by the looks.
Yeah, I think everyone just made the assumption that he was just gonna. It was a foregone conclusion that he would score big just because Lukaku and Werner weren't going to be out there. I think probably the trend all year with Chelsea has been their defenders have been the ones scoring and bringing in the big points. So if you were going to load up, I think on anywhere it would have been there. So I think had to look at if you're going to take that hit. I think like you did bring in Mendy, I think you can't lose there. But Chilwell scored, James scored, Alonso was scoring before he's sort of missed the last few games. Rudiger, he's been involved.
Yeah, everyone who started returned, except for Havertz.
I think it's almost getting to a point now where is it the system that I think we've probably suspected for a little while that it's Tuchel's system that's hindering Lukaku's influence, but I don't know, is it much of a surprise that, you know, the bloke we've had in our team who's been playing up front for him hasn't returned, and then the bloke who plays in that role comes in and plays in that role is the one who doesn't return as well. So I think it's something to look at when Lukaku does come back, even if they have good fixtures, is there better options in midfield to go for rather than going in that nine role where it seems the points aren't at for Chelsea, to be honest, just from the sample size we've got so far. So that's the way I'd be leaning. But yeah, I think it's been an interesting morning on Twitter. I think everyone's been pretty upset and you've seen a few experts, unlike us, copping a bit of heat for the way that they influence the community. But I think at the end of the day, like Mo Salah scored 50 more points than any other player. So he scored 107 so far, and Antonio's 57 and Vardy's 57. So 50 more points than any other player so far this season. And I just think it was an obvious decision for me, and it's hard to not hard actually. I'm quite enjoying sitting up on the high horse and saying it, but
the shame is that Lukaku didn't play, because as we talked about last week, about 70% of people in a lot of the polls were saying that they were going to captain Lukaku, and you know maybe he would have kicked a bag of goals, you know maybe he would have, but I've got a feeling he wouldn't have, or you know wouldn't have kicked three anyway. And all three of our rises would have been a lot bigger because they wouldn't have had Salah with the captaincy. So, yeah, but it just goes to show, it can change really quickly. Maybe less so now because everyone is just going to captain Mo. Like, it's almost just not a choice that you have because he's that much better than everyone else at the moment. But I think he goes away for four or five games for the African tournament at some point. So maybe that'll spice things up a bit. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it will. That's the time where we'll get some more differential captains. But I think at the way it's going at the moment, as long as Mo's playing, I'll be sticking with him. And some people call it boring, but if that's where the points are, that's where I'll be. So, but yeah,
there's nothing boring about checking your phone and saying Salah.
Absolutely not. I got up. Well, it was a 2:30 game in Australia last night, as we obviously know. So ridiculous time, even if you get up and watch it, then it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. So you can't really go back to sleep. So, and you just lose basically a whole night's sleep. So I did the 6 o'clock wake up and watched the on Optus Sport on replay without checking the phone. And it was probably something to talk about. Like, it was pretty incredible, really. And I think we're going to talk about next sort of what caught our eye over the weekend, but this morning, like just sitting there and watching your captain do that is about as good as it gets in FPL. But for you, the boy, what sort of caught your eye over the weekend? Did you have any players, teams? Obviously, we had two huge thumpings and results that resulted in some pretty big FPL scores. Did anyone in particular, any team catch your eye over the weekend?
I think seeing Livramento play the way he did just had to catch my eye, because he just has to be on the field now. It's not because he's cheap and he can get a few clean sheets. Like, he nearly scored, then he did score, then he should have gotten an assist. I forget who missed a pretty easy chance. It might have been Brozier, actually, missed a fairly easy chance. And then there was another one that Livramento should have scored as well. So he's a serious player. Like, he's 18. The guy's 18, English, out of the Chelsea Academy, like so many of the good guys at basically every club these days are. I'm pretty sure they've bought him permanently too, so he's not going anywhere. Like, yeah, he's a really, really good player, and he looks pretty tall. I should have looked it up because I knew I was going to talk about him, but his goal was obviously a header from a corner. He's going to be a danger from that because of his height and skill and execution. And yeah, he's the one that caught my eye because, yeah, I think he's 4.3 now. He'll be 4.4 before you know it, and 4.5 after that. He's returned 5 out of the last 6 weeks, and his fixtures are unbelievable. Watford, Villa, Norwich. He's the one that just completely caught my eye. And I'm happy to say I've had him all year, which was probably one of the good things that Twitter brings in. We talked about how Twitter costs you sometimes, but yeah, I definitely didn't know a lot about Tino Livramento until people were talking about him, and yeah, got him in at 4.0, and he did his time on the bench, but now he's an important field player for me. So
he was the one thing out of my wild card that I was very, very happy to come away with. I think I got him in at 4.1, but the way he's played since then, he's just, I can't see him leaving my team.
I've never had him yet. Still don't.
Staggering.
Did you watch the Southampton game on the weekend? Like, he was phenomenal. Like, watch it as a soccer fan as well.
There's no doubt he's a super player, and I've been watching him and thinking I really should get him in, but I didn't have him on my wild card. And then, like, the only trade I would like, because when I was trading my defenders in on the week, lately I've gone to Diaz, I've gone to Chilwell, and like the only way I'd go to Livramento would be like a sideways from White, and I've just got better things to do with my trades at the moment, to be honest, when I've already got a back four of Diaz, Rudiger, Chilwell, and AA. So I think big at the back for me at the moment. But
I've just looked it up, and he's actually a bit of an Ivan Toney. He's not tall at all, but he looked tall.
He looked huge. He looked huge. He's only 100, that replay of the
173
goal.
Centimeters, supposedly.
What? So he's tiny.
He's only 18. He's only 18. Maybe he's grown a bit since he stood in front of the wall. And they took his height.
The blokes who measured Tony are the same blokes who measured him. So they've got Tony at 5'8", which is absolutely ridiculous. But
speaking of headers and Tony, we all have him, and that he should have buried that header. That would have been a nice one. It was a good ball, and you normally put it in the book for him. Not that I've been watching him play for that long, but yeah, that was a disappointing miss. But he's going to get a lot more chances in the next few games. So that's
who caught your eye, Camo?
I think Brozier. So another Southampton man. Obviously, I've got Armstrong, as we talked about before, and I'm hoping, but I don't think it looks good, that he's actually a little bit injured and misses out. So Armstrong starts, because I think that's he's looking like he's ready-made to score goals, even in a Southampton team that hasn't been playing that well, I guess, to start the year. I think he's incredible value at his price. I think he's 5, or he might have risen to 5.1. So I know you welcomed him, Myko. Shame you didn't start him. But I think you're going to be well and truly rewarded for the next month or so with those fixtures. I think I know their fixtures also aren't that great coming up. But if he can get himself fit, get himself healthy, Leon Bailey, I reckon he's flying. He looks really good when he's out there watching the highlights. I think he's played in the 30 minutes or so he's played between the last two games. He's got 2 assists and a goal. So I think he's one to keep your eye on if the fixtures start to swing for them and they start to show a little bit. But I've always got a soft spot in my heart for him. So that's why I love bringing him up. But I think Villa on a whole, probably, unless you go on Martinez, he just continues to be a great shot stopper. I think he scored 10 points on the weekend, mainly from saves, and obviously saved that penalty. Obviously, it went back in, but you know he's a pretty quality goalkeeper, and at 5.5, if he keeps a haul returning like that, and especially the way they're leaking shots and goals, he might not be a bad one to consider if you're open to spending a little bit more money on your goalkeeper, I guess. But,
With Brozier, I'm still not sure. Like, I'm not 100% certain. Like, obviously, I brought him in as sort of a – I was just going to play one up front, but obviously with his goal on the weekend, he looks like he just takes his goals really well. And I think the thing that's going in his favour is when Armstrong is in the side, I don't think Southampton didn't score for 4 or 5 weeks on the trot. And then he's come in and scored 2 in 2 weeks and just looks like a natural finisher, someone who knows where the net is. So I think that's in his favour. But I just – what seeing that – this is just what I hate about the press conferences. Like, they just talk in circles. Like, Hasenhüttl talked in a circle about how much he loves Adam Armstrong and how Adam Armstrong's going to get his goals soon and he looked forward to when he get his goals and all this stuff. So completely talked me out of it, talked me out of starting Brozier. And then Brozier plays pretty much 80 minutes and Armstrong comes on for one. So – that was pretty tough to cop. But I think the good thing this week for us coming up is that we've got Carabao Cup matches up during the week. So we'll get hopefully some look at some lineups during the week and also some information from press conferences as well.
It's good to see someone like Brojo sort of emerge. I think you can fall into the trap of sometimes you think like, oh, well, there's only, 25 players that everyone's going to have in FPL and that's just what it's going to be like for the whole year. But, people like him basically come out of nowhere and now he's, looks like a really good striker at 5.0 with some good fixtures. And in that same game, Maxwell Cornet scored a double. Like, Burnley, probably not a good enough team to look at him, but they were two really good taking goals. So I just wanted to mention him as well. Like, I know Chris Wood has been a decent asset at times in recent years when Burnley have some good fixtures. So do you feel Cornet's probably gone past him already? I know Wood's missed some pretty easy chances this year. I tend to keep a bit of an eye on him just because I owned him last year and he's obviously from New Zealand just across the ditch. So since there's no Aussies up top in the Premier League for any teams anymore, I like to keep an eye on him. But yeah, Cornet, do you think?
Yeah, I reckon he does. He could be worth looking at. I'm just sort of got the fixtures up here. He's got from 12 sort of that range where we'll mostly be targeting Spurs players, but Palace, Wolves and Newcastle, and then Watford. So with Tottenham in the middle. So I think even though like it's Burnley and it's a lot like we've talked about before, like good fixtures for who, like they're good fixtures for most teams. They might not be for Burnley, but he looks a player. He scored, I think we talked about during the week, he scored 2 doubles against City in the Champions League, I think, prior to coming to the Premier League, which is sort of strange. Like, he's not really type of player Burnley would usually sign, to be honest. So it's kind of strange that he's gone there, but obviously wanted to be in the Premier League. So yeah, I think that sort of game week 12 fixture swing would be one that's worth looking at. But just watching this morning, Camo, what'd you make of the diabolical performance that Manchester United put in? Like, have you been able to catch any of the highlights of the game? And what are you thinking? Firstly, your thoughts on the game, and then your thoughts on Ollie's future.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible game, especially, being at Old Trafford, seeing those scenes at 65, the fans flooding out of the arena. I think probably a club like that losing to Liverpool in that fashion, I can't see Ole being there for too much longer. I think it was last week I was hearing, seeing a few things about Zidane being in the mix. I think those, and with Sir Alex, you see Sir Alex in the stands, those photos of him.
Yeah, the vision of him, he was not happy.
I think Casper the Ghost was in the stands as well, because the way he was carrying on, he'd seen something that was a bit subhuman, I think.
I reckon he would have been straight down to the touchline to tell Ole to hand him the cardboard box and say, go clean out the office, son.
It was just the defending was just unbelievable. Like, I watched, as I said, woke up this morning and watched it, and just like they just looked like they've got absolutely no system at all to their game. I don't know, like what type of team they're trying to be. They feel like they should be dominating teams, but then they always do want to sit back and play on the counter with Rashford and that going forward. So I just have absolutely no idea what type of game plan.
I don't want to have a dig at the community and some of the experts on there, but do you think maybe they've forgotten to watch some of them, very small section of them, have forgotten to watch football for what it is? Because to suggest that Manchester United is not an easy fixture, especially for Salah, and I know it's so easy to say in hindsight, but like Leicester scored 4 goals against them the week before, and they conceded 2 goals to Atalanta in the first half the week before that, days before that. Like, Harry Maguire looks like a headless chook at times. Luke Shaw is just lost. Just because there's a red box there on EPL website, it doesn't mean it's a hard fixture, does it?
Well, basically, how many times now since Ronaldo has come has he been, like, in both those Champions League games, he scored a late goal to sort of rescue him in the game this morning. You know, like, it was a fair bit of brilliance from him to put that one in the side net and beat the keeper, even though it was offside. So I just don't think Ole really knows, hasn't really set it on a mix. I think there's a bit of unrest really there. I mean, like, he's got Van der Beek and that sort of thing just sitting around. I think probably similar to the way Chelsea handled the sacking of Lampard last year, bringing in Tuchel. I mean, they went from nowhere to the Champions League and winning that. So I reckon the cattle's there, but if they could get the right man in charge, they could be, especially with the game week 12 run of fixtures they've got coming up, that could be good for FPL.
Yeah. Well, in terms of next week, they play Spurs, which probably ties into your transfer plans for this week well, Mike, because I know you like the look of a certain South Korean that I think isn't going to mind running at Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire either, because he's a pretty good player too, that bloke.
Yeah, I've got my eye on Sonny. Had my eye on him for a little while, and I think, like I said earlier, that game week 12 fixture swing for Spurs is looking pretty healthy. And like, I've gone Harry Kane once this season already, which is kind of beggars belief in itself. But and I just don't think I'll be going back there for that cash. Like I've talked about spreading my money or taking my money out of the forward half and really spreading my money across defence and midfield. So I think if there's one Spurs player I'll be targeting, it'll be Sonny. And like you said, that defence will be run out even next week before that game week 12 fixture swing. He'll be someone I'm looking at. But I've got 4.4 in the bank, left 4.4 in the bank after my minus 12 with my eye on going up to Sonny. But just after one shot, only registering one shot, I'm kind of getting a little bit nervous. So whether I really want to get rid of Gallagher, he just hasn't given me anything as much as what he thought he'd give me. But the issue is that Rafinha's flagged as well. So he's one to keep an eye on. They play a midweek game this week, so we'll be able to get a press conference and we'll find out what the go is with Rafinha, hopefully. So it'll be probably one of those midfielders to either all the way up to Sun for me, or I wouldn't hate the idea of going to Hudson-Odoi or Kovacic for 2 weeks while they've got these two good fixtures coming up, Newcastle and Burnley. So if Hudson-Odoi plays in that left forward role like he did on the weekend, I think he's a good option. He continuously puts up points, Kovacic, but there's something in me that just doesn't want to go to him just because he plays as sort of that more deeper lying midfielder. But if he's just going to continually get points, well, he's probably something we're going to have to think about. But
Gundogan last year.
Yeah.
Probably people thought about him that way as well.
And even Bernardo Silva at the moment a little bit too. Yeah. Like, if they're just going to keep putting up points, you're probably going to have to think about him at some stage. So, it'll just be the one trade for me this week. No minus 4s, 16s, 20s, 24s or 28s. So I'll be just the one transfer in my midfield, which will either be Gallagher or Rafinha. Either down to a Chelsea bloke or up to Sun. So that's what I've got to think about this week anyway. What about you, Tate, the man who's carrying this podcast at the moment, and we're all living vicariously through you at the moment. So what are your plans at the moment?
I think just quickly, Arsenal are probably the other team that have not a bad run of fixtures over the next 3 or 4 weeks. If you want to look at Smith Rowe or even Pepe or one of their midfielders, Leicester, Watford, then Liverpool, but then Newcastle. So not bad at all. But yeah, no change for me this week. which I'm pretty certain it will definitely happen. So I'll roll the trade for the first time since game week two, I think. Obviously, Rafinha, as you said, is in doubt, but I've got Benrahma not able to get a game at the moment. So I'd be happy enough for him to just come on for Rafinha if he doesn't get up. So that'll leave me with Mendy in the goals, Cancelo, Rudiger, AA, and Livramento down back, who all have really good fixtures. So happy with that. Foden against Crystal Palace, Salah against Brighton as the captain, Rafinha against Norwich, and then Havertz against Newcastle. So fixtures are just great. Jimenez against Everton, who just conceded 5. So you'd like his chances there. And then Tony against Burnley is going to get as good a chance as any to score some goals. So on paper, I should have a pretty good week and get to roll a transfer. So, yeah, pretty settled this week, but obviously we'll keep an eye on midweek and might have to change that. But, yeah, at this stage, it's going to be no change and, yeah, hopefully 7 green arrows in a row. What about you, Cam?
Yeah, not too sure this week. Just got the one free transfer. The minute I've got McCarthy in goals, Livramento, Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger, and then Marcel, even though he's flagged, he's probably a bit of a placeholder at the minute. Mo C, KDB, Rafinha, Gray, and then up front, Tony, and Armstrong at the moment, just with his good fixture. Not too sure. I think I probably need to just wait. I've got Tierney, Rafinha, and Marcel all flagged at the minute. So I'm just going to have to wait until the press conference is a bit later in the week, see what happens with the cup games. Maybe it's either probably going to be Marcel out or Rafinha if he's not going to get up. Probably with my bench, I've got St. Max with Chelsea, Gallagher with City, and Tierney at the minute with Leicester. So probably, and Armstrong might not even feature for more than 5 minutes. So probably need to pull one.
He got on for like 1 minute on the weekend, did he, Armstrong?
Armstrong?
He got one point.
I'll just double check how long he actually was.
Yeah, came on in the 89th.
89th minute.
Yeah. One minute. Looks pretty dire. So I'll just have to.
There was no sign
he was not going to be out there.
But the thing is, like, Brozier came off in like the 74th, so Armstrong didn't even come on for Brozier. Like, I feel like that's a bit worrying in itself, the fact that it's Brozier who's gone off and then Armstrong's not even going to come back on for him. So.
I'd be moving him on, I reckon.
Make the move, son.
It'd be Huang, I reckon, would be the one I'd look to bring in. Bank 0.4 or so. He's looking pretty good. Another a goal on the weekend. He's forming a nice little partnership there with your man. So I think the shift in the last couple of weeks has been to take the money out of the forward line and stick it in the midfield. So I think that trend will probably continue. I was very close to pulling the Sunday morning transfer to bring Chilwell in after I saw he's 12. So I'm glad I just held off and just bit the bullet on the price rise. So,
he scored four Premier League games in a row, Ben Chilwell.
I sent you the video. Yeah. I was watching the game. Tate was out having a few beers before he went home to watch the rest of the game. I sent Tate a video. The runs he was making for Mendy's goal kicks, he was like, he's quite easily the furthest forward by about 20 metres, Chilwell, from the left flank. So it's just like, yeah, I'm happy. He's one player that you when you watch the game, you're happy to have him. But speaking of watching games, boys, what's the plans for the rest of this week? I know I live in a regional part of Australia, you boys in the city, and COVID lockdown allows us this weekend to finally get back together for a beer. So hopefully we'll be together this weekend having a beer. Is that your plan, boys?
Yeah, not going to have anyone for the early game though, which is quite frustrating. Arsenal and Leicester don't have any of their assets, so you always would rather have some of them. But yeah, the way Melbourne is at the moment, it's heaving. I think me being awake at 1 a.m. for the rest on a Saturday night isn't going to be an issue at the moment. So there's a fair few good games on at 1 a.m. So I'll get a good look at them and, yeah, hopefully some more goals from Salah and Foden. That's the plan for me. And it's a pretty safe one at the moment. And, yeah, throw Tony into that. And, yeah, look out. Can't wait.
That's it. Well, lads, thanks for another insightful conversation. Another good pod by us. 3 green arrows. Hopefully another 3. and we start building. As they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, so hopefully we start making our way up back up the FPL table. So all the best for the next game week, and look forward to chatting with you soon.
Peace and love, Gavin. Peace and love.